Again, welcome everybody this morning. About hope today, joy, and Advent. And again, hope is a confident expectation of seeing what we want to come. We see something, we want it to come, and we can't wait for it. And sometimes we lose sight on the end prize, on what our hope is actually in. The story, you may have heard it before, but I'm going to repeat it anyways. So years ago, there was very wealthy man who, along with his devoted son, shared a passion for collecting art. And together, they traveled around the world and adding only the finest art treasures to their collection. Priceless works by Picasso, Van Gogh, Monet. You didn't think I could pronounce those names, did you? I went to school. And many others adorned the walls of the family estate. And the widowed father looked on with satisfaction as his only child became an experienced art collector. But the day came when war engulfed the nation and the young man left to serve his country. And after only a few short weeks, his father received a telegram that his beloved son had been killed while carrying a fellow soldier to a medic. And on Christmas morning, a knock came at the door of the old man's home, and as he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hand. And he introduced himself to the man by saying, "I was a friend of your son. I was the one he was rescuing when he died. May I come in for a few moments? I have something to show you." And the soldier said, "I'm an artist, and I want to give you this." And as the old man unwrapped the package, the paper gave way to reveal a portrait of his son. And though the art critics would never consider the work a piece of genius, the painting did feature the young man's face in striking detail and seemed to capture his personality. The following spring, the old man became ill and passed away. And the art world was filled with anticipation because, according to the man's will, all of the artworks were to be auctioned. The day soon arrived, and art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. And the auction began with a painting that was not on any museum's list. It was the painting of the man's son. And the auctioneer asked for an opening bid, and the room was silent. "Who will open the bidding with $100? He asked. Minutes passed with not a sound from those who came to buy. From the back of the room, someone called out, "Who cares about that painting? It's just a picture of his son. Let's forget it and get to the important things." Other voices echoed in agreement, but the auctioneer replied, "No, we have to sell this one first. Now who will take the son?" Finally, a friend of the old man spoke. "I knew the boy, so I'd like to have it. I'll bid the $100. The auctioneer said, "I have a bid of $100. Will anyone else go higher?" After a long silence, the auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, gone," and the gavel fell. Well, cheers filled the room, and someone said, "Now we can get on with it." But the auctioneer looked at the audience and announced the auction was over. Stunned disbelief quieted the room, and after a few moments, someone spoke up and asked, "What do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a picture of some old guy's son. What about all the paintings? There's millions of dollars worth of art here. We demand that you explain what's going on." And the auctioneer replied, "It's very simple. According to the will of the father, whoever takes the son gets it all. Whoever takes the son gets it all." You know, hope is the assurance of something yet to come. You know, something to look forward to. You know, we can have it all, but it comes through the son. Some just want the big shiny things now. You know, they only see the stuff in front of them and what they can see and touch and feel, and the things in the here and now. And all those paintings could have been had if they had understood about the sun. You can't overlook the sun and expect to get great things. You maybe can have everything on this earth, but you won't have everything you want or need. Those earthly things you see and are just for now. For even now, jobs can be temporary. Seems to be kind of the season of job loss. Seems like it always in December when holidays come and things, that there's layoffs that people face and job losses, and always happens this time of year. So they can be gone in an instant with changes, with places being sold, places being combined, places downsizing. They can be gone. Friends and family can be here today and gone tomorrow. You know, each day isn't promised to us. But the one who has the Son has it all. No matter which of those things happen, He's infinitely more than a person who seems to have everything here. You know, everything here doesn't really matter. He's infinitely more than that. Excuse me. I want to go to John, 1 John 5, 1 through 12. Appreciate you those here. I know sickness has been going around. A little tough to get over. 1 John 5, 1 through 12 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that was overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. You know, sometimes we get caught up in what do we believe in, or who do we believe in. And a lot of times that's ourselves. Sometimes we get too stuck on believing in ourselves. And we got to believe we can do things, but not trust ourselves for everything. You know, to a certain extent we have to have some self-confidence. But even our confidence comes from God, comes from the Lord. You know, do we believe in getting how much we can? You know, do we want all those paintings? We want the special ones. We don't want the lower ones. We don't want to go through the channels to get there. Do we believe anyone we see on TV or hear on the radio? Do we get caught up in those things? Do we put our trust in the government? Yes, I giggled when I wrote that down. I mean, is it who we are as a person? Is that who we depend on, is, or where we came from? You know, a lot of times say, well, they're from a good Christian family, or they work hard, and they're just a good person. They're being good and helping others. They're really good at helping others, and, you know, they're just the nicest person you could ever know. But, you know, none of that makes a difference unless you have a relationship with Jesus. If that's what you're banking on, if that's what you're putting your hope in, is being good, being nice, that's sad, because that won't get you there. Only Jesus Christ will get you there. You got to have that relationship with Christ, Jesus, the Son of God. You know, if you think about what if Jesus wasn't born? What differences would there be today? You know, if Jesus wasn't born, you know, just basic things, schools, hospitals, how many of those were founded on belief in Jesus, belief in Christ, and religious being? Schools, hospital, historical dates would be completely different. You know, we switched when Jesus was born. You know, the YMCA wouldn't exist. We'd have half a Bible still. We wouldn't be celebrating Christmas. Peter, James, and John may still just have been fishermen that we may never have heard about. Paul may still have been a Pharisee that was never changed on the road to Damascus. Mary Magdalene may have continued in a sinful life. And the state of the world, can you imagine the state of our world today with no hope in it? But we know God had a plan. You know, but John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And he didn't come into the world to condemn it, but to save the world. And that's why we celebrate Christmas, that birth that came into the world. You know, Emmanuel, God with us. You know, Jesus changed everything. He changed everything. You know, he showed us himself. He showed us God. If you've seen Jesus, if you've seen Christ, you've seen the Father. He showed us who he is. You know, Jesus' examples of love and compassion and humility. And he showed us how valued we are. You know, ever watch American Pickers? You know, they go pick up this. A lot of it looks like junk to me, but they see value in it. They know what's valuable. And, you know, there's a lot of people that probably look like junk to other people. And probably those that Annie deals with. Some people would say, you know, that's nothing. But Annie sees value in them. You know, people see value. Jesus sees value in every person. They're valuable to him. They're valuable enough he gave his whole self to save for each and every one. That's why he came as a baby and died as a savior for us. Romans 15:4 says, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So, scriptures are for us, to show us what people went through. Trials and adversity are a part of life, but they bring fruit. They bring blessings. You know, at times we go through the fire to be made strong. You know, a lot of tools and things they're heat tempered. They're heat treated to make them stronger. And that's the same way with us. We go through the fire to be treated and to be made stronger. And those with hope in Christ have endurance because there's a finish line for us. We can see far enough ahead. We don't see in the now, but we can see far enough ahead the finish line. And we expect to reach that because we know what's coming. There's a prize at the end because of God's promises that he's given to us. We know Christ's return will change things again. And this life will change. C.S. Lewis actually said, God, who foresaw your tribulation, has specially armed you to go through it, not without pain, but without stain. We go through these things. We go through the trials of life, and it's painful. There's things we struggle with, but through him without stain, through him that he gets us through it. I'm going to read a thing Tom gave me today. Appreciate it. It says, my Sunday blessing, hope. It says, my Sunday blessing, and we talked about hope a little last week too. It says, how many times this past week did you hope? Did you hope the family would arrive safely, the turkey would be done on time, the rolls wouldn't burn, that no one would argue about politics at dinner? Sometimes we hope that. We hope for things both large and small, getting a raise, excellent grades, better health, reconciliation, a good night's sleep, a winning season for our team, a cure for cancer, an on-time departure, finding the perfect gift, world peace, the winning lottery ticket, or a better tomorrow. Biblical hope, however, isn't about expecting better circumstances. Biblical hope is living through the storms, the loss, the pain, and the disorder of this life, while holding on to the hope that God will show up right in the middle of our mess. In the darkness of our lives, in today's troubled world, Christ's followers have hope regardless of whether circumstances change for the better or the worse. We have hope because we know the one who holds our future in his hands. We have hope because we know that he is with us every step of the way. Best of all, we have hope because we know how the story ends. And it ends as better, and its end is better than anything we possibly could imagine. Hope came into the world with the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. God gave us hope with his forgiveness of sins, our salvation, and his promise of Jesus. He gave us hope with the resurrection of the dead, the communion of saints, the redemption of creation, the Holy Spirit, the return of Christ, and the life of the world to come. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of hope. The Christmas message is that there's hope for a ruined humanity, hope of pardon, hope of peace with God, hope of glory, because at the Father's will, Jesus became poor and was born in a stable, and so that 30 years later, he might hang on the cross. May God bless you. So thank you, Tom, for that. We're going to have an invitation in just a minute. A couple more things to read to you. Excuse me. Romans 8, 22 through 25. Romans 8, 22 through 25. And it ties in. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for an adoption of sonship to redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have yet, we wait for it patiently. You know, waiting for something can almost be a little painful. You just can't wait to get there. Can't wait to maybe get to the end of the school year. Can't wait for that vacation to start. Or can't wait to retire and start something else. Or can't wait for Christmas. And sometimes we want so much for something to come to fruition, we just can't hardly wait. And you know, remember those Christmas presents that sometimes gets wrapped under the tree. And, you know, every now and then you catch a grandkid kind of shaking the boxes a little bit or kind of looking for the ones with their names on them, you know. And, you know, trying to sneak a peek and shake the boxes to see what's in them. And maybe it's even you come across when you knew it was a shape, you even knew what it was, you know, they kind of wrapped a football in just the wrapping paper, so you kind of had an idea it was a football, or maybe a tennis racket, you know, kind of hard not to tell that might be a tennis racket, or the new thing, pickleball paddle. So, but and it had your name on it, you knew it was yours, and you were going to get it, and you pretty much knew what it was, but you still had to wait till the time was right for it. You had to wait for it till the time was right to be given to you. So you already had ownership of it, had your name on it, and you knew what it was, but you still had to wait for it. Those in Christ have the hope, the expectation of his return and him taking us with him. We already have it. You know, it's there. We just have to be patient till the time's right. It's already ours. Our name's already written down on that. Our name's already in the book. So that's what we have to look forward to. We have to be patient in our hope. And the reason we have to be patient is because we have to help others have the same hope we have. Hope in Christ. Because it's not going to be good for them to not have that hope in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:19 was what was on the bulletin this morning. It says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people the most pitied. And, you know, this life is not it. You know, I heard Tom say again, give Tom half credit for today's message. More than once I've heard him use the term, you know, this life, you know, this is not the best we can have. You know, it's the best life a non-believer will ever get. This life is it. This is the best a non-believer will ever have. But it's the worst we can have if we're a believer in Jesus Christ, because we have the hope in Christ. This is the worst it gets for us. So put your hope in Jesus. Put your hope in that little baby that we celebrate. And it's a birth that gives us the hope we have. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the hope you've given us, Lord. The hope is not a wish. It's a known expectation. It's something that we know is going to happen, Father, because you've promised it. You've given us it, and it testifies to us by the Holy Spirit and your word. And Father, we're so thankful for that, Lord, but it breaks our hearts that everybody doesn't have that same hope, that that try to be good, try to do things the right way, but are missing out on the relationship with you that makes all the difference. Lord, we pray for them. We pray that we would be the examples for them to come to see you, Lord, that you would use us as the vessels that you've made us to be, to shout your word, to draw people to you, Father, that they can have that hope also. Lord, just again, be with us as we go along. Let us just not forget the hope this season that we have, Lord, and what we look forward to is the main thing, that it's about you. It's about that baby that humbled itself to come just as a child in a dirty cave that became the king that we needed. Father, we thank you for all you do for us. We praise you that you're there with us and the hope you give. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.